Welcome to the Brian Beebe Half Hour Variety Hour. It's really 15 minutes of fun, music, and laughter stretched out into something much, much longer. And now, here's your host, Brian Beebe.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I said, hey, yeah. Gary U.S. Bonds. Down to New Orleans, man. It's Brian Beebe. Once again, it's Wednesday night at 5 o'clock and time to do something. Otherwise, I'd just be home looking at the computer and doing nothing. So I drive down to Madison, and these guys let me sit here and talk to you folks. What do you think? Pretty nice, huh? Get the fake enthusiasm, the fake smile. I got Mike Brockovelt behind the controls over there and answering your phone calls. Which there will be none.
Lots of.
Oh, there'll be lots of them.
Lots of.
All right. Well, we're going to...
Optimism.
We're going to invite your phone calls anyway. And can you see the number? Because I forget to say the number sometimes. But anyway, we're brought to you once again by Monk's Bar and Grill and six locations around Wisconsin. We got two of them in the Dells. And Sorrento's Italian Restaurant at the Wilderness in Wisconsin Dells, where the Wilderness had a big fire, Mike. It's been the news for days in the Dells. A building that wasn't completed yet, but they build dormitories for their help. And this one was almost done, and it caught fire.
Interesting.
And they're thinking arson.
Really?
I mean, I don't have that by any kind of authority, but I think they are. Anyway.
What would be the motive?
Well, let's just... what if there was a guy, I don't know, I'm just making up stuff. What if there was a guy who was like hired to do all the electrical and he wired a couple things and they didn't like what he was doing, they fired him. Would he go back there and sabotage the rest of the project?
I don't know.
Or take his wires out and I don't know. But I just hope it wasn't some kids. Yeah. You know, in there where they shouldn't be.
Bottle rockets.
Yeah, something like that. But it could be anything, a disgruntled employee, or it could be a, who else would start it up? It's not an insurance thing. The Wilderness has all the money they need, and they need the building. They needed the building. It's like a...
Is it a nature thing, natural preserve deal? Or,
no, you know, they
it's
got
not a good plot.
They bought a... an old rundown hotel, the Delview Hotel, next to the Wilderness property, and already have a huge building just identical to this that in place. Because whether you know this or not, the Dells, 25 years ago, outgrew the local population for jobs, you know, 30 years ago. They were already advertising overseas for people to come to the Dells in the summertime because we don't have enough homegrown people in the, you know, Dells, Delton, north of Madison, 50 miles there. There's just a couple of little small towns, and you're talking about thousands and thousands of people needed to operate these big resorts.
Yeah.
And I don't know how many restaurants there are, but there's got to be 150 maybe restaurants in town. They got to have help, you know. And so they started inviting these people to come over from, they advertise in, you know, in Bulgaria and Spain and I don't know where all. But they come over and they get a J-1 visa. I don't know exactly what it is, but they come for the summer. It's kind of cool because I had friends that they would sell these people, these kids, a car with the caveat that they would buy it back at the end of the summer, you know. And then they'd sell that same car to the next bunch of them that come in next summer or whoever else. But anyway, they have to have these people. And there was talk in these immigration talks and discussions about not allowing these J-1 visas anymore. The Dells would be shut in a matter of a week. There would be nothing that left left up there. That it would go back to the old days of where you paddle yourself up and down the river to see the sights. You know, the, that's what they 100 and some odd years ago they had tours of the upper dells of the Wisconsin River, but you had to
follow me.
You'd paddle your own boat, man. Yeah, it wasn't the same as it is now. Anyway, I know that Mitch talked a little bit about the State of the Union address, and I'm going to just say my piece, and then I'll move on. I'm not going to talk about political, but I can't help thinking that maybe we got to stop doing the State of the Union, because it doesn't matter who is in there, the Republican or the Democrat or whoever else. Their friends and the people that support them stand up every 4 or 5 seconds, standing ovation. There must have been 100+ of them in Trump's speech last night. And it's kind of, well, first of all, it made it into one of the, like the third longest State of the Union address in history. But then also, it just kind of makes it kind of bumpy and gawky, you know, if he's constantly, every thought is, as soon as he mentions the key word, they all jump up. And so that he doesn't really get to continue a thought much.
And we will. Woo!
Yeah. And here's what it looked like. And you got Paul Ryan and the vice president behind Trump, and they can see out, and they can see which ones everybody's starting to stand up for.
Sure. Yeah.
Now they got to pick and choose. Is this one that I really want to support these people in their standing ovation? Or am I going to let this one go? Whatever. But you can't have the vice president jump up for a point and the Speaker of the House not jump up, you know? So here's what it looked like, in case you didn't watch it. Mike didn't watch it. Yeah, as Trump would say, build the wall. And they'd all stand up. The clap would go on and then. And then he'd sit down, and he'd say, on our southern border, you know, I'm telling you, it was every 3 or 4 seconds they were on their feet, standing ovation. And it just doesn't make much sense. I don't know if the State of the Union actually got talked about much at all. But he had too much politics, there, and he had half the room that was standing up for everything like that every 3 or 4 seconds, and half the room that never hardly stood up at all, except for when they brought out some, you know, poor person or some, you know, that talked about somebody who saved a life. They had a lot of heroes on there, you know.
Right.
And then they would stand up for those guys. But that's it. And then you got these people that are wearing black, you know, for the Me Too movement. It wasn't, I don't know if it's, wasn't much about the state of our union. It was more about, And I'm, while I'm on the subject, I was looking at, I was at Culver's, and they got the newspaper on the table there, and I was looking at front page of the Wisconsin State Journal, below the fold, but this is a pretty big story if it's on the front page of the State Journal, you know. It said that the Koch brothers network, you know who they are, they billionaire brothers who support a lot of political causes, their network, and this is not just all their money, they got other people that are like-minded that contribute money to the same causes, but they're going to spend $400 million on politics and policy for the midterms in November. $400 million. Imagine what they spend on a presidential election,
right,
you know?
Yeah.
That's more than the combined, this is how much $400 million is in the midterms, more than the combined resources spent by the Republican National Committee, the National Rifle Association, and the Chamber of Commerce, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. You know, so, and they plan to flood the airwaves with political messaging early through the end of July, and all the way up, they're going to stop, you know, ahead of time, just going to get ahead of the game. And I just, what does it mean if somebody can spend $400 million? on the midterms and then cherry pick their elections and stuff. How do we have any say with our little votes, huh? Mm. Do you vote, Mike?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Well, you might as well if you don't have to drive too far and don't have to wait in line.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I don't know if we can ever learn enough about what, you know, which side of the issue you want to be on. Can we ever learn enough about it to really know enough to vote wisely? Call in and help me out with this. It's 608-210-1667. Last week we didn't get to do a show because of there've been some big shakeups in the building here, and maybe there was, we don't know, something technical happened, and I didn't do a show.
We had to hire a new spider to weave a new web.
Oh,
of internet.
Oh, internet. You had an internet spider?
Yeah, came in.
I just see that.
Wove a new web.
Wow.
For us.
We're connected to the, yeah. Well, that's I like that idea. I like that idea better than the dark web.
The dark web.
The dark web. I read a novel recently, a year or two ago maybe, about something was going on with the dark web. I mean, it's been around for a while.
Dark webs and bitcoins and.
Yeah, well, bitcoin seems like everybody can get a hold of some of that if they want to. Mm. But the dark web, you kind of have to have a secret access code or a number, a website that you call, you know, and then you're all of a sudden you can be in touch with hitmen and crook criminals and all kinds of things that aren't on the regular web. You know, the dark web is stuff that you can't get on the regular
organs
web.
Organs for sale.
Yeah. Probably stolen organs for sale for sure. It's a real thing, this dark web, but it's just now coming to everybody's attention. But anyway, I was going to talk last week about the women's issues. The big march on Washington happened last week, and I thought it was going to be really timely with the. My stuff about the women's issues because of the women's march, and then we didn't do a show, so now I have to go back and say, do you remember last week when they had the march, a week and a half ago? Well, my show was going to be very timely about the women's issues.
We can still talk about it.
Yeah, but it won't be as timely as it was. But anyway, I've got my keyboard out here. We can talk about women's issues. We're going to talk about women's songs, some of my favorite songs recorded by women. But some of the things that I'm going to share with you, and you can call in and ask a question or make a comment. My friend Karen hit me with a couple of things, I don't know, a couple of months ago, about women having invented bulletproof vests. Women invented bulletproof vests, fire escapes, windshield wipers, laser printers, and I've got a whole. I went and researched. I got a whole bunch more. She also said, "Did you know that 10,000 birds die hitting the window every year?" So that's 10,000 of them right there.
That we don't know where they go.
those ones fall right at the. No, they fall right underneath the window. They're dead.
Okay.
You know. I'll tell you another one I know for sure died. I was playing tennis down in Florida years ago, and I feel like
I know where this is going.
I served the ball really hard, right? And I threw the ball up, and it was a fenced-in area, and this bird left the top of the fence and flew right over the top of the net just as my 90-mile-an-hour serve was going, and hit this bird, explosion of feathers. The bird landed on the side of the court and kind of walked under this bush.
Yeah.
Wasn't very happy. I don't think it probably didn't make it. But, you know, they can't help it. They can't see you. You're keeping your windows too clean if these birds are flying into them. Give the birds a break and leave some dirt on there like I do. All right. Well, are we going to take a little short break here? And when I get back, I'm going to hit you up with some more amazing stuff that women have accomplished. We're talking about the women's contribution to society and the Women's March last weekend. And more and more and more, lots of stuff. And then we're going to sing some songs by some... I'm going to have talk about favorite teachers, too. I don't know how, if we'll have enough time for all this stuff, but I got some songs, too, by some girl singers and girl songwriters that you might enjoy, too. We'll be right back. Brian Beebe, brought to you by Monks and Sorrentos.
MadisonTalks.com is the home of Madison's most creative talk radio. If you have a serious gift of gab, you have stories to share, political, social, or religious positions to express, contact Madison Talks to have your own 60-minute weekly podcast recorded and posted for the world to hear. Have a new book to promote? Madison Talks is the ideal place to promote it. Fly solo or line up guests for your weekly live talk session. When your 60-minute program is finished live streaming, it'll be posted as a podcast to MadisonTalks.com for listening 24/7. Take your message to the world with MadisonTalks.com. Call 608-210-1667 or visit MadisonTalks.com. That's 608-210-1667 or visit MadisonTalks.com. MadisonTalks.com, looking for your creative commentary. You're listening to MadisonTalks.com, stimulating conversation on a variety of subjects and issues that matter. Share your questions, comments, or answers with us at 608-210-1667. Now here's your host on MadisonTalks.com.
To it for free too. I've given up trying to make any money with my songwriting. So there it is. That's for you. That's for you free. Taking my time on YouTube. That's another thing we could talk about sometime is the process of getting a hello. Who's on there? Yeah. And so anyway, we're talking about these women issues. When I was a kid, a young teenager, there were, women's lib became a big thing. Burning your bra and not wearing a bra. And women were standing up for less and less in the workplace. They weren't going to take it anymore. And they wanted to be paid. They wanted to just call attention to the fact that they weren't being treated right. And it's for the most part, it was a good thing. But I think there were a lot of women about 5 or 6 years into the women's lib movement, the older women particularly, that had grown up as, you know, being subservient to their man in the home, and they stayed home and they watched the kids and they cooked and they cleaned, and they weren't particularly interested in burning their bras, you know, or having, they kind of got the impression basically that they were in charge of their husband already. Without demanding anything, you know, because you think about it, and you've heard this these kind of things too, that women are basically controlling their man most of the time, and usually by making him think that he's the boss, you know. Oh, yes, honey, yeah, that's sure. Yeah, whatever you say, honey, and then they go and do exactly what they're going to do anyway, and you know what I mean? Women can control men by not pretending to be all that powerful. But in all, the Women's March recently, you know, I don't know if it's making any difference with the wages, and the Me Too movement with the sexual harassment. But they might as well call these things into question, because it's not going to change unless you do. Nothing's going to change unless you question the old ways of doing things. And it's pretty easy to let things just go and let them go, and they continue doing them the way they you always do them, and nothing really changes for the better, you know. So anyway, I thought I would just mention some of the stuff that I found out about women, and there was a lot of women inventors when you started looking online that had invented a lot of things, like improvements to sewing machines, improvements to dishwashers, cooking things, and added. But I didn't write them down, because I wanted to bring to your attention the women who had. Those are wonderful things to actually bring to our lives stuff, but how about the women that were inventing things for, like, the space shuttle?
You know what I mean? More impactful.
Yeah. You wouldn't think about that. This Mary Anderson, I mentioned this woman invented windshield wipers, and she didn't even drive.
Huh.
Yeah, she was a lab rat, you know. And then this Stephanie Kowalik invented Kevlar, which ended up being used in bulletproof vests. She didn't actually invent the bulletproof vest. She invented Kevlar, but that's even more amazing.
I wonder what original use was.
Kevlar and Mylar were used on in space in NASA.
Yeah.
You know, the side of the like the space capsule.
Mm-hmm.
It was as thin as like a layer of aluminum foil,
mm-hmm.
You know, because there's no air, there's no wind, there's no real push on these things.
Just don't lean against it.
Yeah, right? You don't, if you can, don't lean against it. Here's another one. Hedy Lamarr, if you know that name, you're as old as I am or older. She was a screen actress. She was in some Howard Hughes movies. I think she might have even been a paramour of Howard Hughes. But this is a woman who was very independent and very intelligent. She was a beautiful woman. She was a screen idol, you know, back in the 30s and 40s. Hedy Lamarr. And she actually came up with something called spread spectrum technology, which is now, and this is back in the 40s or the 50s, she came up with it. Spread spectrum technology, it's something that we use, it's something that it has allowed for modern day cell phones.
Oh, communication, broadcasting,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah. Unbelievable, huh? And she's a. Not one of these, I want to be alone. She wasn't that one, but she was right in that Marlene Dietrich category. Yeah. How about this? Now, you think this isn't much when you get right. A woman named Margaret Knight, and she was a black woman, by the way. And several of these women are black women. I didn't write it down because it didn't really matter. But she invented flat-bottom paper bags. Do you know what I mean? Until she came along, it was a piece of paper, hooked to another piece of paper, and like this. You could not set that bag on the counter and fill it. You talk about changing our lives in a certain simple kind of a way, huh? Lizzie Magie, M-A-G-I-E, invented the game Monopoly.
Oh.
Now that is a big part of our lives.
Yeah.
And this is when musicians will get a kick out of this. Betty Naismith Graham. Naismith was her maiden name. She was Mike Naismith's mother. The Mike Naismith of the Monkees.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Monkees. Huh. She invented liquid paper. You know that
whiteout.
Yeah, whiteout. And before there was computers, and before there was carbon copies, I don't know how these women could ever take dictation, because if they did hit a wrong letter, they had to stop, go back to that spot, and then take a little brush and paint white over the wrong letter, and then retype it. After wait, let it dry. You know, this. I'm not kidding. Yeah. And then strike it again to, and hope you strike it again the second time right. I mean,
until the fancy keyboards came along with the white, the erase, yeah. The erase key. With the,
yeah. Yeah, and they had the erase tape.
The ribbon, yeah.
The ribbon,
ribbon,
yeah. I bought one of those because I wasn't, you know, I had the liquid paper, but I never used it enough. You'd go buy one of these and use it a couple times, and then it was completely like a rock.
Dry it out.
Throw it out. Yeah, you buy another bottle. Oh, no, you don't buy another bottle until you reach for this bottle and try to use it. And it's hard as a rock.
Sure, yeah.
So you have to throw it away and get another bottle. But then they come up with these electric typewriters that had white on the bottom of the black tape. It's black on top of white. And then you could hit a button and it would raise up and you'd type the letter again and it would just stamp out a white P or whatever you right. needed, you know, and we're over the old P or something. But it was cool, and I had to use that a lot, boy. And I still don't type any better, even with my computer, but it sure is easier to make mistakes on the computer, huh? You can take whole sections of something and just dump it and start over again. It's neat. Patricia Bath was a ophthalmologist, not optometrist, ophthalmologist, and she has she came up with something involving cataracts to help prevent blindness. You know, here's another one: Stella Wrighton Masters. She lived from 1675 to 1720. This is way back when. And she invented a corn mill.
Okay.
A corn mill, which is an agricultural thing. But she had to get, because they were under King George at the time, 1675 to 1720, she had to apply for a patent from King George. That's how far long ago that was. And women couldn't get a patent in their own name. So she had to get her patent for her corn mill in her husband's name.
Oh, bummer. That's a big bummer.
But, I mean, isn't that cool that she went ahead and invented the thing, and then somebody convinced her, or she convinced herself, that she needed to get paid for this thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And needed to get it patented. And so they researched it and found out her husband had it. Who cares? But she eventually got paid, or her husband did, you know. Catherine Burr Blodgett, and she was 1898 to 1979, had a PhD in physics. You're talking about a woman going to college? Or how did she do it? In 1898, she might have gone back because it was 1979 was her date of expiration. But a PhD in physics, she invented some surface chemistry and engineering that allowed us to make non-reflective glass for eyeglasses and camera lenses and windshields. She invented. Did you hear that, Mike? Surface chemistry and engineering to produce non-reflecting glass. Isn't that cool?
That's awesome.
So
man.
Windshields and camera lenses and eyeglasses. This is a woman who lived over 100 years ago, died over 100 years ago, and invented something that we use every day.
Now.
Isn't that cool?
That's awesome.
Who's on the phone?
one of our good callers, Joanne.
Joanne, I love your list.
Joanne? Oh, Joanne, are you... I know who you are.
Yeah.
We met at the meet and greet for Mitch Henk and his show over at, what was it, Babes or something?
That's right. That was a great party. And thank you to Mitch for putting that on.
Oh, that was okay. You know, I had something to do with it, too.
Oh, okay. Thank you to both of the, both of you folks.
No, I didn't. It was
and the list is really exciting. I know many of my students don't believe in single inventor anymore. They think that Bill Gates or Steve Jobs invented the computer. They don't remember the Edisons and the Betty Naismith Smiths and all. What was the last name? Whatever. But the person who invented a whiteout and all of that. It takes a lot of ingenious people with long hours and a lot of dedication to get these inventions made.
You know what was really different about people then? They were more self-sufficient, and if there was a hole in their life or something they wanted to do better, they would just figure it out and make it. They would make a corn mill. Do you know what I mean? And then if it turned out to be a good thing, maybe they'd make 10 of them that were all wrong, and the 11th one was great and started to work. And now they started to figure out how to get paid about it. But, it was much harder to get something done then, wasn't it?
Right. Well, I'm thinking of what I heard last night on President Trump's address to the nation. He was saying that the Empire State Building took about a year to build.
Yeah.
And you think of all the little inventions that had to be made and the decisions that had to be made and all of that within that year, all these really incredible minds that had to fix things and get them done to get that a great accomplishment.
Right. And then he proceeded to say that the permitting now for a project like that would take 10 years. You know, which was a bit of an exaggeration. But I guess that really was built in a year and a 20 days or something. Did you know that?
I mean, I knew it was built quickly. I didn't realize it was built that quickly. But I'm also thinking of things like the Moon Project.
Yeah.
We had a human being, a bunch of human beings on the moon. And now we're thinking of the future, and my students say, well, maybe it would be like 2030 before we could get people to the moon. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, with a lot less technology, people were able to do it in the 60s and early 70s, and it didn't take that much.
Do you remember that?
I don't know.
Remember that movie, Apollo 13, when they ran into all that trouble in space, Jim Lovell, and all of a sudden it showed all these guys in white short sleeve T-shirts with slide rules. Do you remember they were checking numbers and calculations and stuff with their slide rules?
Exactly,
I mean, can you imagine how primitive?
Hidden Figures about how a lot of black women were.
Oh yeah, that was a good movie.
Yeah, that slide rule stuff. So let's give it to those individual inventors and all of that. That's what made the U.S. so great for so many years. Let's hope it keeps going.
Yeah. Boy, kind of made my show here so far. Yeah, are you a Joni Mitchell fan?
I love Joni Mitchell.
I had a feeling you might.
She's an inventor of so many different ways of approaching music. A very creative touch. What I get worried about sometimes is when I listen to the Grammys and some of the music today, and there's too many cover bands.
Don't get me started.
I'd like some new kinds of sound and music, even if I don't understand it.
Don't get me started about those Grammys.
That was. I don't know if you were able to turn that on.
No, I would never turn it on.
A lot of the musicians today count on the light show and the smoke and all the the theatrics of it more than the music. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, I don't. It's been a long time since I recognized the names of anybody who was up for a Grammy. You know?
That's great. When is your birthday? We got to have a birthday party for you now.
September 1st.
Oh, it's going to be a while. But we'll try to arrange something so we can recognize you too. That would be a great thing. We don't recognize people enough in Madison. You know, we don't even have a really great birthday party for Madison himself, James Madison.
How about that? No, we should.
No. I don't know why.
And people in Madison are looking for reasons to party. Are you still there?
Yeah. I look for any opportunity to party, and hey. I think that James Madison would be a great birthday, and then we can have a birthday party in September.
I thank you for calling
in. Thank you so much.
Hey, listen, I'll leave you with one more, Joanne. Okay.
All right.
Tabitha Babbitt lived from 1779 to 1853, and she invented the circular saw.
Wow.
Yeah. How about that?
Oh my God. Yeah, I was wondering who invented the circular firing squad, because yeah. I'm still out of those in politics. When you said that, I was thinking, last time I heard the word circular on one of Mitch's shows, it was about the circular firing squad.
Oh, yeah. Thank you for calling, dear. Talk to you later.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Ah. Yeah, the circular, I don't know, I should have written that down just a touch more, because I wrote her birthday down, and there wasn't even electricity then, so it must have been a circular saw that was used with a horse drawn, a belt driven, anything.
Pulleys.
Could have turned some gears.
Yeah.
And made a saw work, and it probably did, like in from the old two-handled saw like this with a guy on each side of it to a circular saw where a horse just walking around, could drive a belt-driven motor or a set of gears and cut lumber. Wouldn't that be something? And a woman who wouldn't be allowed anywhere near a lumber yard invented that circular saw. Let me just... I was going to do this, too. Now, let's. This is women. Women have a lot more power at this moment than they used to, but they're still not feeling like they're equal to men, and they're not in like a lot of wages. But they're in control when it comes to dating and sexual harassment, and they're coming out a lot more strongly. In the face of sexual harassment. I'm not sure. Let me ask you a couple of questions and then we'll go to break. What will total equality between the sexes be like? How will decisions be made? How will dating, what will it look like when total equality between the sexes is achieved? Here's another one. I want you to call in with your answer, 608-210-1667. And do women want to tip the scales all the way over and be on top for a while? Do they want to be above men for a while to enjoy that as much as men have for so long? Is that kind of what you're thinking about? What do you women think about when you think about fighting for equality and justice in the workplace and in life in general? Do you want to be all the way past equal to be on the top of things? Just call in and let us know. All right? Brian Beebe. And it's... there's another one of my songs distracting me. That's a cool song I wrote years ago called Use It All. Anyway, we'll be right back. Take me by the hand and build me up. Let me down, you're just using me. Take me in your arms, keep me safe from harm. Nice and warm all the time. Tell me that you're mine, things are fine all the time. When you need me, I can see the lines in your face come around when you're tired of me. You don't have to say much or do a thing to make me see tired of me.
MadisonTalks.com is the home of Madison's most creative talk radio.
If you have a serious gift of gab, you have stories to share, political, social, or religious positions to express, contact Madison Talks to have your own 60-minute weekly podcast recorded and posted for the world to hear. Have a new book to promote? Madison Talks is the ideal place to promote it. Fly solo or line up guests for your weekly live talk session. When your 60-minute program is finished live streaming, it'll be posted as a podcast to MadisonTalks.com for listening 24/7. Take your message to the world with MadisonTalks.com. Call 608-210-1667 or visit MadisonTalks.com. That's 608-210-1667 or visit MadisonTalks.com. MadisonTalks.com, looking for your creative commentary. You're listening to MadisonTalks.com, stimulating conversation on a variety of subjects and issues that matter. Share your questions, comments, or answers with us at 608-210-1667. Now here's your host on MadisonTalks.com.
It's another one of my original songs that totally... This one's called Far Away, and it's on YouTube, too, if you want to check it out. Are we back? All right. Well, you know, we've been talking about women inventors, and, well, you know, there's a lot more women in politics now, in powerful places in politics. What's going on with the National Organization of Women, for Women? The N-O-W. Now, that used to be a big thing that came out of the women's lib movement in the 70s. Is it still going? Do people still go to meetings for now? Or do they have any influence anymore? I was going to share with you some stories about my teachers, which were all, until high school, they were all women, of course, you know. And... several of them were very memorable for good things, and several of them were very memorable for bad things that went on. But anyway, let's do a couple of songs by some people that either women songwriters or women singers. They've always been around. They've always been... part of popular music. Even when my parents were young, your grandparents were young, there was a lot of Patsy Cline was there, Doris Day, Patti Page, and all the big bands had girl singers in them. So I'm going to do, maybe it'll be just a big medley of these songs that you and I both know about that were done by girls. It's all about, it's my women's show. It's a heartache, nothing but a heartache. Love him till your arms break, then he lets you down. It's a fool's game, nothing but a fool's game. Cold rain, feeling like a clown. This song actually puts men down pretty good. It ain't right to need someone as much as I depended on you. It ain't right with love to share, and then you find he doesn't care for you. Remember who did that song? Bonnie Tyler. She's the one that also did Turn Around. Every now and then you get a face full of stuff and you, I don't know. Anyway, yeah. Who's on the phone?
Stevie Ray.
Stevie Ray, aren't you in Texas, man?
Yeah, but we have long distance from here.
Long distance? Oh, you have long distance lines?
I'm calling long distance. They always used to make such a big deal, like Klinger said on MASH. They always make such a big deal of it, like you had to walk there. What's the big deal?
Did I have to accept charges or anything? Remember when we had to you had to call and see if somebody would accept your call? Do you remember that?
Yeah, I've been through that.
collect person to person. Yeah. Well, you're down in Texas with Maggie Mae. And you had some trouble getting down there. Was there trouble with flights or what was it?
Yeah, I had a flight canceled because of the weather. It was right during the freezing rain and stuff like that going on in the northern part, central part of Texas. So they canceled my flight, but
yeah,
I made it.
They don't know how to deal with cold or freezing rain up in North Texas, do they?
Well, it was the de-icing of the planes and all that stuff too.
Oh,
it was
quite
a deal.
Yeah. So you had to cancel a gig?
Nope. I got here in the afternoon, and 3 hours later we were on stage.
It's a good thing you know the material. You didn't have to practice.
Well, if I didn't, we'd just switch it up to something else. It was no big. We've been working together for long enough where it was no, you know. The set list is not a set list. It's a suggestion. It's like a speed limit sign.
Yeah.
That's just a suggestion.
Well, you know, your boss, Maggie Mae Hilliard, is she kind of fits right into this category of these women, strong women who have made their own way in life. She really has. I know Roger had a big farm and stuff, but she really has made that band and her business and everything. She's a very...
Probably one of the nicest people I've worked with ever.
Right.
And, you know, I've looked back on this over the past, 30 years or so, and most of the artists I worked with, for instance, Trilly Cole in Nashville. And,
there's another one.
I was working with Melissa Spangler and her husband Jeff, a group called Me and the Boys.
Yeah.
Artists that I've worked with have been women, and I've had great success with getting along and... you know, they know what they wanted, and
there must be somebody trying to call. You got call waiting.
I'm sorry.
We're getting this a beep. I don't know if you can hear it, but it's a beep like somebody would be calling. Does it get call waiting or something? I don't know.
Yeah, we switch phone providers after with
probably
the whole internet
have a
stuff.
Call waiting. Yeah. But Trilly Cole was a trendsetter too, wasn't she, Stevie?
I think we lost him.
We lost Stevie?
Yeah.
Oh. But he'll call back, I hope, anyway. Because Maggie... Yeah, that's probably him. Maggie Mae...
Hey, what's up? We lost you for some reason. Like I said, we got new phones, so...
Okay, is that him?
That's, I don't know. Yeah, that's Stevie.
I just turned... I just started to talk to you, and you weren't there. Trilly Cole was a kind of a trendsetter, too, wasn't she? She had her own band and hired...
Yeah, she was doing... kind of what Barbara Mandrell was doing at the time with them, playing multiple instruments during Trilly played, I think, six.
Yeah.
And the other lady I was talking about, Melissa Spangler, very talented. She played five or six as well. So it seems like I've kind of gravitated toward people who have been multi-talented that way. And,
well,
and I've learned a lot from them.
And there's strong
people.
Women, too. I mean, that Trilly ran her own band, didn't she?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she hired and fired guys. And
she knew exactly, as far as arrangements were concerned, you know, it's like, here's what we're playing, here's your part, here's your part. And it's like, yes. And I'm glad I called this week, because with the theme of the show, firsthand can attest to some of the female performers and how good they can be. A matter of fact, the gal that... I used to work with Christy B. in Madison, who I got to send some kudos out to her. Very good artist.
Definitely.
Very good singer. Very
definitely
good
a strong female that fronted the band and played electric guitar. That wasn't necessarily an accepted thing then. You know, for a woman to play
I know. Did you mention Carol Kay at all in your program so far?
No, but I'm a big fan. There's a woman, hard drinking woman. I think Trilly was too. Maggie isn't, but I mean.
No, Trilly was not. Well, later on, yes. But during the course of the show,
never,
she's on stage. She's right, A game.
Right. Well, tell us who Carol Kane is. She's a bass
player.
Carol
Kane, bass player for, I think, the Wrecking Crew.
And she was on so many hit records that you didn't even realize.
Bass player. I mean, if you heard it in the 60s, chances are if it wasn't Duck Gunn.
Yeah. It was Beach Boys. It was she did the Beach Boys. She did some not the Motown stuff, but some soul music, and country too, right?
I don't really know. I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, but she was on a lot of Beach Boys records. She was a studio musician there. She making $1 million a year playing bass. A woman, something like that. Big money. You get a mention?
I've always admired women who could do that, and just tune right into them. Oh, wow, that is great, you know.
Look her up.
I'm a big advocate of anybody that can show off, put their talent out there. And it used to be, in some areas where, all you had to do was it looked pretty and sing a little bit and shake a tambourine and you got hired. Oh, no. It isn't like that. It shouldn't have been like that. But there were some instances in which it was.
And women at the time were required to make it look like effortless. Of course, most performers did. But like in rock and roll in the 60s, a guy could be as scrubby as he wanted to be. But a woman had to look like Shelley Fabres, or she had to look like the Lennon sisters. Do you know what I mean? Like a princess. In fact, they sent the Supremes and all those Motown groups to charm school and bought them these chiffon dresses, matching dresses, and they weren't allowed to have their black hair, their, Negroid hair. They had to wear a very white looking wig, with a flip. Remember that, Stevie?
Oh yeah.
Because the girls weren't allowed to be scrubby. Not until you know who changed all of that really in a big way? Janis Joplin. She wasn't anybody's puppet at all, man. Janis Joplin.
Yeah.
She could drink and be as sloppy and weird as she wanted to be, and that was her shtick. That was her thing, Are you hearing that beeping in your phone, Stevie?
No, I'm not. Okay. It's a little on the quiet side, the beep to me.
Yeah.
But, no, I'm not hearing a beep.
We don't want to turn it up because it's really loud. I got a call waiting, right. Sort of a beep going on in my phones here.
Except our lines aren't set up here with the phones.
Yeah. Last week's trouble is surfacing here. We got new phone systems in the building here.
I'm having a bit of a problem with the internet in this portion of the. We're staying in one of the RV parks in this area in the Rio Grande Valley in a place called Far, Texas, P-A-R-R, near McAllen.
Far. And Far, Texas.
It's not far. Yes,
no, Far. Great Balls of Fire? Yeah.
Kind
of
like that, yeah. I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah. So is it just the two of you? Who's driving the bus?
Well, there's no bus this time around. The bus is in Wisconsin. Roger's got the, Maggie's husband, Roger, has the, we have the van. It's the Dodge Caravan. That's pretty much the band vehicle. So it's the three of us, our little Bose.
How far do you have to go?
I'm playing acoustic guitar. I've got I got my little studio set up here. I got a new keyboard that plugs into my laptop, and I'm gonna do some tracks here. And I'm getting all set up. So.
Well, good, man. I got about 5 more minutes, and I promised some people I'd play some more of these girl tunes. I was gonna do bump to the bump to the bump. But I don't think I will, man.
We'll have to wait until sometime when I can get out there and set up my stuff too.
Let me just prove our silliness to everybody. What song is bump to the bump to the bump?
Oh, you're so vain.
You're so vain. It starts out with...
Well, it's the bass lick at the beginning. That's how we... Because I don't know about everybody else, but when you and I are working together...
We can't think of the names of the songs fast enough, you know. So it's bump, diddy, bump, diddy, bump. You know which song.
Yeah.
You know which one I mean. Bump, diddy, bump. You know?
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Thanks for calling in, man. And have a great gig. Are you playing tonight?
No, we don't play till Friday, so I'm going to be working on some, I might work on some original stuff. I'm going to work on some of my, I do my my own bass and drum tracks for my solo show, so I need to
and you do it on your
stuff, and I'm going to work on that
computer,
in the next couple of days.
You can do it right on your computer. You got your drum sounds and everything right in there? Your
lap. Yeah.
On your phone?
I don't use a drum machine. You know, I'd rather, you know, the way I'd play it, so...
Are you doing it from your phone?
No.
No. Laptop?
No, I'm not phone. No.
All right. Well, thanks for calling in, man.
Thanks
I better
for having
go.
Me, as always.
See you soon, man.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
I'm just going to have to race through some of these songs, these girl songs that I... Spector.
Brian Beebe shows.
It's a heartache we did. How about this? Please, mister, please. Don't play B-17. It was her song, it was her song. But it's over. Please, mister, please. If you know what I mean, I don't ever want to hear that song again. Olivia Newton-John, please, mister, please. If you remember these songs and want to look them up, I don't blame you. How about this? This is a really cool song by Gladys Knight. I've had my share. I think this song would make a good a hit all over again for a guy. So, you know how sometimes a guy can do a woman's song again and vice versa? And it becomes a hit, like a new song. This goes, I've had my share of life's ups and downs, but fate's been kind. The downs have been few. I guess you could say that I've been lucky. I guess you could say that it's all because of you. If anyone should, here comes the chorus, my life story. For whatever reason, might be. You'll be there between each line of pain and glory. And here's the title of the song. 'Cause you're the best thing that ever happened to me. You're the best thing that ever happened to me. You're the best thing, that ever happened to me. Yeah. Gladys Knight, you're the best thing that ever happened to me. That song would be a country guy, could make that into a big hit, I think. Because people already, some country guy's got a song out that goes, da-da, it's new words, but it goes, da-da, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, da-da-da-da, different words, but it's got the same... melody. Anyway, and then of course, there's a... It's my party and I cry if I want to, cry if I want to, cry if I want to. You would cry too if it happened to you. Leslie Gore, and she... We bought so many copies of that that she had to come up with a song just like it. It continued on from the It's My Party theme to, so now it's Judy's turn to cry, Judy's turn to cry, Judy's turn to cry. 'Cause Johnny's come back, to me. Yeah, before the Beatles came along, if you had a hit record, you almost always would come up with a song exactly like it, you know, for your next hit, because right. you knew that that worked. So you would, in that case, she did. It was there was still one night I saw him kissing at a party, my party. So I kissed some other guy. I like to sing this one because it's a little awkward for a guy to sing. Oh, Johnny jumped up and he hit him, 'cause he still loves me, that's why. And now it's Judy's turn to cry, 'cause Johnny's come back, to me. Yeah, Mike gets it, it's funny.
It is.
Are we gonna go? All right, I'll play this out. Thank you for being here for our leftover woman's show from last week that we couldn't do. Looking out on the morning rain, I used to feel so uninspired. And when I knew I had to face another day, Brian Beebe, brought to you by Monk's Bar and Grill. By the way, Monk's has got a big show, not this coming weekend, but the weekend after, February 9th and 10th, called Stampede. Miles Nielsen and Driving and Crying and Tyler Shep and three bands each night, Friday and Saturday. And you can buy tickets with food, without food. Go on up there and check that out. Go to dan.collar. At Monk's Bar and Grill, all one word, .com. And buy a ticket or look for some more information. I'll see you again soon. Thank you, Mike Brockenfeld in the control room, for taking all those calls, screening all those calls. And we'll see how this goes after the State of the Union and all this nonsense, huh? Thank you.